Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Firehouse Magazine Insider for the March 2013 issue of Firehouse. I'm Elizabeth Narulis, Managing Editor, and we'll be talking with Deputy Chief Raymond O'Brocky from the Baltimore City, Maryland Fire Department about his Chief Concerns column, which appears in the March issue of the magazine. Chief, thank you for joining us. We'd just like to ask you a couple questions about this article. Recent extreme weather events have challenged fire departments and their resources. How has Baltimore City responded to that challenge?
Well, it's really a twofold challenge because in the context of all of these storms is a bad economy and shrinking budget. So years ago, we didn't have as many extreme weather events, or at least they weren't one after the other. It seems like every season we have a major event that taxed our resources. But we had enough people to where we could just throw people at the problem, I mean suppression forces at the problem. Now, because of shrinking budgets, and I'm sure this is the tale in many fire departments, especially on the eastern coast, we just don't have the depth at the positions we once had. So we've started to enlist people that are uniformed people, sworn uniformed people, people that have had training, but have gone on to the bureaus, whether it be, in this case, the fire marshal's office or other bureaus, and press them into first-line services before, during, and after these weather events.
And how were the fire inspectors utilized during, how did you come to that decision?
I'd say about 2 or 3 years ago, right around 2008, 2009, we started to sort of nibble around the edges of this issue. And what we would do is usually during heavy rainstorms when there were, proliferation of flooded basements. Our chief of operations then, Donald W. Heinbuck, asked if my fire inspectors could go out and help because we would have, hundreds of calls simultaneously for these flooded basements. And all that was really needed was somebody to go out, investigate, and shut off the utilities. We don't pump basements anymore. We did years past. That is a practice that has gone by the wayside because of shrinking budgets and demand. And he didn't think that, he needed a fire engine. He was right, didn't need a fire engine. Now, that that role has expanded to other things other than just flooded basements since then. I think it was really Snowmageddon that occurred in 2010 that sort of was a tipping point to where it's just standard operating procedure now that prior to an event, we give the fire marshal a call and different bureaus and say, how many people can you give me? What are your resources? Whether it be snow is a little different because all of our bureaus, the guys only have, the members only have Chevy Cobalts. So they're not four-wheel drive vehicles. So they are restricted during heavy snows to man the IMT, which is needed, especially because the snow storms usually are protracted. So we can't just, have, say, a dozen or so people working the IMT and there for the entire event. They need a break because it's 24/7. So with, an additional 20 to 35 or even 40 extra members from the bureaus to rotate people in and out, we avoid that burnout.
That's great. And so after Snowmageddon, you had to use it for several more storms. Is that right?
Yeah. We had that earthquake, the rare earthquake, that didn't hurt anyone but scared everyone and did some infrastructure damage. We had everyone checking out high-rises. There's already 2,500 high-rises in the city. There's no way any, the fire companies by themselves could possibly hit all of the demands for inspection. So this is actually a case of where fire suppression helped the fire marshal's office just do their sort of cursory structural integrity inspections. We look for, you know, cracks in walls and exterior facades and that kind of thing. And so from then on, we have had derecho storms, hurricanes, really bad nor'easters. And prior to any of these forecasts, we get a roster of people. We have them either on call, ready to come in, or in place, ready to just plug them in wherever we need them.
That's great. And that just helps the sworn personnel in the fire marshal's office to be able to justify their positioning as well.
I think that's important because there is this sort of civilianization of non-suppression personnel in fire departments that's sweeping the country. I mean, frankly, you can get civilian inspectors and civilian, you know, other non-suppression positions cheaper than you can sworn members, but then you really are limiting yourself to just that job. With sworn members, all of our members have medic bags. They're all at least EMTBs or higher. We have a couple ALS inspectors. And they're out in the community just like everybody else. Of course, it's business hours, but they have medic bags. From time to time, I would say semi-regularly, you'll hear a fire inspector call in. They all have radios asking for a medic unit, and they will be the first responder on the scene of car accidents or people that we find that are non-responsive and that kind of thing. So that's the kind of depth, you know, that you can't achieve by civilianizing your fire prevention bureau.
You can find It's All Hands on Deck When a Disaster Strikes on page 82 of the March issue of Firehouse Magazine. Look for links to this article and the entire issue of the magazine on the podcast player page. Thank you so much, Chief Obrocki, for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.